A strong biblical foundation is the baseline for Christian growth. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to build on principles from God's Word.
We may suffer much for the Lord's sake, but our response is not to be the world's response, striking, picketing, writing mean letters. There are so many today that are involved in hate speech and lashing out. All of these people that talk about tolerance, 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 boy, can they be some mean bloggers. There's very little moderation on the internet.
Spiritual discipline sounds great in theory, but putting it into practice takes time and determination. In our series, Building Below the Baseline, Pastor Chappell illustrates the importance of building the part of life that no one else sees, but God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our churches and homes today need Christians willing to build their lives on eternal truth rather than worldly trends. Our series today is designed to give us practical lessons that will help us pursue a life marked by biblical wisdom. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Building Our Thoughts.
Well, thoughts are certainly one of those aspects of our lives that are well below the baseline. They are a part of our life that no one will ever see or hear or know, and yet the Bible says that as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's say that together. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you think in your heart thoughts of discouragement or thoughts of quitting or thoughts of jealousy or thoughts of cynicism, you will become what you think. And the Bible predicts that. And I believe it's vitally important that we recognize that when we sow a thought, we often will reap an action. And when we sow an action, we often will reap a habit. And when we sow that habit, we often will reap a destiny. But it all begins with the thoughts. It all begins with what we meditate upon in our hearts. And sometimes we hear things and we're programmed on a daily basis with thoughts and the news media and difficulties and all the things that come into our mind. And if we're not careful, it'll kind of come out of our mouth and come out of our life if we're not really disciplined in our biblical thought process. I heard of a man in the middle of a wedding ceremony. He was a jewelry store manager who was exchanging rings with his own soon-to-be spouse. And as he slipped the ring onto his bride's finger, he said, "With this ring, we guarantee a full refund if the customer is not completely satisfied." He had said it, he had thought it so many times that it just kind of went into automatic mode. And sometimes we can think things so many times that they become the reality in our lives. Now, whatever we think about constantly will determine what we do. If you think constantly about how to be a better spouse, it's going to come out in the way you live. If you think constantly about how can you see someone saved and bring someone to the saving knowledge of Christ, you're going to look for that opportunity often in your life. If you think constantly about how you can be a blessing, God's going to open the doors for you to be a blessing. You say, "Pastor, are you involved in the power of positive thinking?" No, but I believe in the power of biblical thinking and thinking the way Christ wants us to think. You say, "Is this church about mind control?" It's only about learning to think the way Jesus wants us to think. For the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God." And the Bible says he made of himself no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. What I'm simply saying is that all of us need to be more Christ-like thinkers in the way that we think. By the way, how many of you are thankful that when Jesus was on the cross, you were on his mind? That he thought of us, even on the cross. May we tonight learn how to think properly below the baseline. Now notice in our text tonight that the kinds of thoughts that God is calling us to have, first of all, begin with positive thoughts. And I want you to notice that in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Now, God says, I want you to rejoice in me personally. The word rejoice, of course, means to be glad. And I believe that every one of us, despite the difficulties and trials of life, always have something and someone to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life. It doesn't matter how much negativity is coming our way. We all know that we are on the winning side, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all unrighteousness, and that we have a home sealed in heaven. And so it doesn't just say in verse 4, rejoice always. This isn't some TV preacher with a fake smile just saying rejoice always. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And in the Lord, there's always something to rejoice about. And people sometimes, I think, probably don't understand just even some of the day-to-day stresses around even the ministry and some of the trials that come through our offices and some of the things we try to handle. And I remember walking in one time to Mrs. Furso's office 10 or 15 years ago, and she had a little sign pasted onto her computer, and it said, "Too blessed to be stressed." And you know, that's a wonderful sign, isn't it? Too blessed to be stressed. You know, in the Lord, we are too blessed to be stressed. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Chief Justice Oliver Holmes once said, "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." You know what I believe our teenagers need to see? They need to see us glad to be in church, rejoicing in the Lord, thankful for the blessings of God. And so it is. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord, not in our feelings. Joy is not an emotional response to changing circumstances. I often think about early America. But when the pilgrims celebrated the first Thanksgiving, it came at the end of a brutal year, think of this, in which 48 of their original group of 102 had died. Imagine half of your original group that landed have died. And so they decided to have Thanksgiving. And they gathered together to give thanks to the Lord. And one researcher said, if they could appreciate life amid such chaos, pain, and uncertainty, I can give thanks for all the good things in my relatively cushy life. I believe that many of our finest single adults spent some time in a place like El Salvador, or maybe another mission field, where they're able to see young people who, because they get one chiclet, are so happy, and because they got to come to church, are so thrilled. And a lot of times with our young people, if they don't have new tennis shoes, and if they don't have this game, and if they don't have this way, and if they have to sit towards the front, or whatever issue just slightly ruffles their feathers, suddenly they're not given over to thanks. And you see, the fact of the matter is that thanks should have nothing to do with our circumstances or our possessions, and everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord, not in our feelings, but in Him, in His character. Joy is based on the knowledge of God. It is based on the repeated reciting and singing of His nature, His attributes. That's why we sing, "Blessed be the name, blessed be the name." That's why we sing, "How firm a foundation." That's why we sing, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." That's why we sing, "How great thou art." So many wonderful songs that lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? Because we need to come together and worship and be reminded that He is the source of our strength. He is the reason that we sing. Psalm 28 and verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise Him." So we rejoice in the Lord personally. Secondly, we rejoice in the Lord peaceably. Now, in the Lord, there's always reason for peace and moderation. Notice, if you would, what it says in verse number 4 again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Now, the word moderation speaks of personal peace. One of my favorite definitions is sweet reasonableness. that God gives to us sweet reasonableness. He wants us in all situations to be mild or gentle. And remember, Paul, as he writes these epistles, often from prison in Rome, is one who could have had discontent. He is one who could have had bitterness. He is one who could have been anti-everything in life. But he says, let your moderation be known. Let people see the grace of God in your life. And we may suffer much for the Lord's sake, but our response is not to be the world's response, striking, picketing, writing mean letters. There are so many today that are involved in hate speech and lashing out. And in all this, all of these people that talk about tolerance, 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 boy, can they be some mean bloggers. There's very little moderation on the internet. Very little moderation on the talk radio shows. And oftentimes, even with Christians, very little moderation. God says, I want you to rejoice in me personally. And I want you to rejoice also peaceably. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Satan wishes to destroy our faith through suffering. God desires to refine it. That's where, when the Apostle Paul said concerning his infirmity, I sought the Lord thrice that he would take this away from me. And the Lord Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul the Apostle said, most gladly therefore will I rejoice in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that's not an easy bridge to cross, but when you've matured in the Lord enough to say, look it, this doesn't feel good, but God's going to do something through this, all of a sudden there comes a moderation, there comes a peaceableness, there's an ability to say, Lord, I don't see where this is going, but I trust you in this, and I believe that you have a reason for this. Psalm 46:10 says it best, be still and know that I am God. Would you say that with me? Be still and know. Be still. Well, I tell you, if you're not careful, ladies, you're going to get on the phone. Well, I just don't know about this. I just don't know about this. And before you know it, instead of being still and letting God be God. Fellas, if you're not careful, well, I'm going to call. I'm going to tell this guy what I think. And I'm going to tell the boss. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. If you're not careful, you're going to interrupt. Sometimes it's better just to let God be God. Did you know God can take care of your husband better than you can? Did you know God could remove your boss if he wanted to? You say, well, I just don't think that guy should have got that. I just don't think that was fair. What if that guy was dead in a week? Is it really worth expending all of what you're expending over it? Sometimes is it okay to just let God be in charge of something? Be still and know that I am God. But so oftentimes in our spirit, we just, restless. I don't know. I just don't see it that way. Wait a minute. That's the opposite of moderation. God says, I want you to have positive thoughts. I want you to rejoice in the Lord. I want you to let your moderation be known. The Lord is at hand. And it says, be still and know that I am God. Now, God is calling us below the baseline as needed to rearrange our thinking and our thought process. Notice what he says in verse 5. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? The Lord is at hand. In other words, when we're filled with anxiety and when we're going to our husband, and I've seen many, many good men just driven out of church by a complaining wife. We're going to some friend and we're gossiping, and I've seen many people hurt by gossip. When we're restless and we're just blah, 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 and just over and over again, like a dripping faucet, if we're not careful, what will happen is we're forgetting a very important principle. That is this. The Lord is right there. The Lord is at hand.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.